I am Planta on the Line in Vancouver, British Columbia at thecommentary.ca. Tomorrow, Friday the 31st of January, in Toronto, Ottawa, and here in Vancouver, the documentary Liza, a truly terrific, absolutely true story, has its Canadian premiere. The life and times of Liza Minnelli are examined by Minnelli herself and a collection of family and friends. It's one of the first times the lifelong entertainer of stage and screen has consented to talk at length and candidly about her work, her life in the public eye, and the persona that she's created. The film looks at certain individuals who helped craft the image, people like Kay Thompson, Fred Ebb, Charles Aznavour, Halston, and Bob Fosse. Their mentorship, as well as professional and personal friendship, guide Minnelli from being just another singer or actress, the daughter of Hollywood royalty, Vincent Minnelli and Judy Garland, to the incomparable legend that she's become. The film features interviews with Minnelli, Michael Feinstein, Chita Rivera, Mia Farrow, Ben Vereen, and Joel Grey. There's also never-before-seen footage from Minnelli's home movie collection, some behind-the-scenes videos of touring around the world as well as backstage, whether on a film set, Broadway house, or concert hall. The film is written, produced, and directed by Bruce David Klein, who joins me now. I'll ask him about what it was like to gain Minnelli's trust in the project, as well as what she's like for somebody so much in the public eye. The real Minnelli is revealed. And I'll ask Bruce about what she's really like. Minnelli talks candidly about life and love, as well as addiction. The film starts tomorrow here at the VIF Center, as well as at the Hot Dog Cinema in Toronto and the Mayfair Theatre in Ottawa. There will be further screenings here as well as across Canada. Visit zeitgeistfilms.com for more information on tickets, dates, and times. Please welcome to the Plant Online program, Bruce Klein. Mr. Klein, good morning.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks for joining us. How did you get Liza Minnelli to agree to do this film? Because she's been interviewed throughout her life, throughout her career, but not as in-depth as you've managed to get her in your film. I mean, getting an overview, say, of her whole life, as we hear in your movie.
Well, thank you for that. I mean, basically, you know, my history with Liza Minnelli, and I think part of that is, you know, kind of what helped us at the crucial moment was that, you know, I was too young to see Cabaret when it came out, but I remember seeing the poster and remembering, you know, how naughty it was, and it looked very kind of inviting. And then, you know, when I was a little older, I saw Arthur, and I said, you know, this was some amazing comedic actress, and then I was blown away that that was the same person in Cabaret on that poster. So I went back and kind of did a deep dive on kind of Liza Minnelli movies. But the real moment that I think really got me to kind of understand or try or be curious about her, and I think this may be the thing that ultimately led to us getting kind of approved to do the film, is that in 2008 she was on Broadway with the Liza's at the Palace show, and she had just gone through a whole bunch of health kind of issues with, I think there was a hip operation, and there was, you know, a crazy marriage that she was coming out of. So there was a lot of question as to whether or not she'd actually still be able to sing and dance and perform. So, you know, I went to see it. I was in the audience, and I will never forget, it was like hushed before she came out. She comes out for the first time. The spotlight goes on her. She does one of her kind of signature Liza moves and her hand movement. And the audience lost its mind in a way that, honestly, I have never seen before or after, which is people were not only giving her a standing ovation, but they were standing on the Broadway seats and applauding, and grown men and women had tears streaming down their faces. And I remember at that moment saying, my God, this woman has such an unbelievable connection with her audience in a way that goes way beyond just, you know, I like her music, I like that movie that she was in. So I think when we finally got to talking to Liza's team about, you know, the possibility of doing this, one of the things they said early on, which was kind of the game changer, was, you know, by the way, we just found, you know, 25 hours of footage of Liza from the 70s that has never been seen before. We found it in a vault. Would you be interested in seeing it? And, of course, kind of our jaws dropped, and they sent some selections over.
Yeah.
And when we hit play, everybody, and we had multi-generational people in the edit room at Atlas, they all watched this, and we were struck by this incredible kind of, you know, unbridled, explosive talent when she was the it girl of the 70s. She was the Taylor Swift. I mean, she was on the cover of Time and Newsweek the same week. She, you know, was winning all these awards. So at that point, we realized, oh, my God, this movie is totally about the 70s and kind of how she became herself. And so when we went back and pitched that, I think that, with hopefully my cred as, you know, somebody who had experienced the Liza power on stage back, you know, a couple years before on Broadway, that's when they said, you know, I think we trust these guys. All right, go do it. And that's when we kind of got the okay.
Yeah, when I started the film, you plot it ingeniously that you know it doesn't start in the 1940s when she's born. It doesn't, you know, start with the Hollywood life that she had as a child. You started in 1969, which is a pivotal moment in her life and her career, because, you know, her mother dies. She's obviously done Broadway at that point, concerts and albums, but she really does explode artistically and fame wise in the 1970s, and I guess the death of her mother really was the beginning of that, wasn't it?
I think without question, and hopefully our film proves this, that Judy Garland's death was the catalyst that Liza was looking for. If you look at her, and it's a great deep dive going down the rabbit hole, if you ever have time on YouTube, looking at a lot of Liza Minnelli's performances when she was in her teens and late teens on the Ed Sullivan Show in the 1960s, before, while her mother was still alive. And you look at these and you see the explosive talent, but also you see that she is very much of her time. The way she dresses, the way she sings is very much a reflection of the culture at that time. And then suddenly, her mother dies, and within a couple of years, she's in, not only does she win all the awards, but the project, she's in a film that literally completely deconstructs the Hollywood classic MGM musical that her father and mother were, you know, part of creating.
Yeah.
And she makes that choice. She makes the choice to do the first concert for television where she has only one chance live. You know, her mother did stuff taped. You know, many of it was taped. So doing it live, a concert for television, was very, very radical at that time. So her choices that she made, probably kind of inspired by all the mentors and the people she hung out with, literally made her, drew her further and further away from the legacy of her mother and that kind of golden age Hollywood path into being herself and being very current and modern. And so absolutely her mother's tragic death was a catalyst for her. She clearly felt freer. She clearly felt the need to take chances and to be her own person after her mother passed.
And we see throughout the film, through various people like Kate Thompson, Fred Ebb, Halston, Charles Aznavour, how their influence in crafting the persona, crafting the image, if you will, of Minnelli, we see that throughout her life. When you take all of that away, you take away the sequins, you take away the makeup, the clothing and the sort, the feeling that I got as I was watching the film is that you're seeing somebody who has a lot of love for her friends. She would have been a great parent. And at the same time, you know, she was just too pure and too trusting. Was that something you knew about her before you started this film? And I'm curious to know, how soon into the project did you see that in her?
And that's an interesting point, because it does touch on something very unique about her, and it's something that you discover immediately upon meeting Liza for the first time. And one of the things is, you talked about kind of her friends, and we have a section in the film on her friends, which I was actually going to cut out, because I felt, oh my God, this is so cliche. Really, we're going to say, oh, this star, friends are very important to her. Yet, when we probe deeper and deeper, you realize that Liza feeds off of friends. Friends make her feel comfortable. Liza is this incredible concoction of strength and power and talent, yet with vulnerability and with anxiety. And I think the friendships that she has made, and her close friends that she keeps very close, are people who make her feel safe and make her feel comfortable. And it's very unnerving when you meet Liza, because you basically, you know, your natural instinct, she's the legend and the icon and has won every award in the book. And you're going up to her and you're saying, you know, oh, I loved you in Cabaret. I love this song. I love that song. And yet it is very unnerving, as I say, her leaning in, looking at you and saying, you know, tell me about you. So when she first says that, you say, all right, she's just doing kind of the bare minimum to make conversation. Mm-hmm. And then she starts asking, man, tell me about your aunt. Now tell me where she lives. Now where do you... And you realize very, very quickly that it is not BS. She cares about you. She wants you to be her friend. She wants you to like her. And again, I have never seen that in a celebrity. And it's certainly even rare for, you know, a non-celebrity personality trait.
Does it surprise you, Bruce, that someone so much in the public eye as she's been, who's performed everywhere, is as nervous as she is? I mean, there's a scene in the film, early in your film, where you're showing her a clip of her and Kate Thompson. And she says, you're very smart to show that because she's feeling nervous.
I actually couldn't believe that moment, because that was exactly, you know, the experience of, boy, you're Liza Minnelli. You're doing probably, I'm going to say, the 75,000th interview that you've given in your life, let alone all of the photos taken of you and going to, you know, all these glamorous events with media when you were a kid. And you're telling me that, thank you for showing me this because I'm really nervous and it helps calm me down. That was an eye-opener. Mm. But it's very much Liza. And I think it's genuine, this vulnerability, and I think part of that, which she infuses into her performance, is what makes her so beguiling as a performer and as a talent, as a personality, which is, yes, she can give you the big stuff and she can give you the over-the-top talent, but you sense that behind it is a genuine vulnerability, if not anxiety and nervousness, that is there, which makes her so human. In terms of why she has that, I can't, you know, psychoanalyze. Clearly, she had a very unusual upbringing, with her parents being who they were, and certainly her mother, you know, in Liza's teenage years, her mother went through a range of troubles, but, you know, and her mother on her own obviously had vulnerabilities as well. So whether it's inherited, whatever, I can't speculate as to why. I just know it is very apparent.
And there's another scene in the film, insightful and delightful moment you capture. I was going to ask you what it's like to direct her, especially, you know, the fact that she's Vincent Minnelli's daughter. She asks you to position your camera at one point. What was that experience like for you as a filmmaker?
Well, one of the things that you learn, you know, certainly when dealing with celebrities and legends, and you're filming them, is, you know, we are entering Liza's world. You know, she doesn't come on our set and answer my questions. I am entering her world. And as a result, you have to be pretty much prepared for everything. So you're always looking for some kind of connection. In Liza's case, what I learned very, very quickly is that Liza loves people who make her laugh. And she, if you make her laugh, she's your friend for life. So I made sure early in the process, in the first interview that we did with her, that there was just a very light vibe on the set, and people were cracking jokes, and she was cracking jokes. And I think that's one of the things that helped kind of relax her a little. But yes, she does have her father's eye for detail, and mm-hmm. certainly if you watch any of Vincent Minnelli's classic kind of musicals or any of his films, I mean, you look at An American in Paris, and, you know, kind of in the background, deep background, you know, there's a guy selling crepes, you know, from a cart, and that guy is in a resplendent, you know, wardrobe, and his actions are very, very detailed and well thought out, and that's the attention to detail that he was famous for, and no doubt Liza has a lot of that in her, and that's why that kind of expressed itself on the set.
Bruce, were there things that she wouldn't talk about?
No, I think, well, yes and no. I think Liza, because she's possibly one of the most experienced persons at dealing with reporters asking her personal questions over many, many decades, I think she is very gracious in letting you know that she doesn't really want to go there, but she doesn't say, I won't answer that question. Mm. She doesn't say no comment. She does it in a friendly way. She cracks a joke or whatever. But there was nothing off the table in my conversations with her. So, and hopefully the film attests to the fact that she spoke openly about her addiction, about her marriages, about just about everything. So I didn't feel like, you know, we missed anything, although, you know, I'm sure that there are other things that, you know, future historians can find out.
Yeah, we forget, you know, she was one of the first celebrities so open about AA, so open about being at Betty Ford.
She was one of the first celebrities people don't realize today, because in the 70s you had publicists and PR agents and managers who were out of that kind of MGM school of making everything seem perfect all the time, never showing any fallibility, never showing that you're weak in any way, and protecting the client. And yet Liza was comfortable in the early 80s or whatever to come forward with AA. She was also one of the first to throw her support behind AIDS research and those kind of charities and associations. So yes, she really is not afraid to be who she is. She's very comfortable in her own skin.
Bruce, congratulations on this film. It's been a pleasure to talk to you today. It's a most enjoyable documentary. Congratulations again.
Thank you so much, and just get the word out. We want fannies and seats, as they say.
Zeitgeistfilms.com will have a list of the cities and screenings, as well as dates and times for the film. Liza, a truly terrific, absolutely true story. It's a writer, producer, and director, Bruce David Klein, joined me on the line from New York City. In Vancouver, I'm Joseph Plunta.